From the world. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. As you're able to, please stand and turn to number 92 if you're following in the hymnal for our first hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth. Thank you for remaining standing. Let us affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. Number 881, if you're following in the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Let's see. First off, if you'll pray for my friend Tamitha, she has fibromyalgia and some other issues as well, and that tends to put her in the hospital about every other month or every 2 months, so she may have gone home by now, but she had to go back to the hospital. So just keep her in your prayers, if you will, for healing. And also, we want to keep two families in our prayers as they've had people pass away. And they're there on the back of your bulletin, the family of Mr. Roland Fuller and also the family of Mr. Jimmy Howard. We want to keep them in our prayers as they go through this process of mourning and of remembering their loved one who has passed. Other than that, I can't think of any prayer requests. Does anyone else have any they'd like to share? Yes, ma'am.
Reminded John's family, Miss Christine and Lynn.
Yes, ma'am.
Just buried the son on Saturday.
Okay, we will keep them in our prayers. Yes, ma'am.
I have one of my sister.
Okay. Okay, and what was her name again?
Lula Spear.
Okay. All right, we will keep her in our prayers as well. Does anyone else have any? Yes. Pray for the homeless and for all of those who are having a hard time, especially this time of year. It can be a very difficult time of year for a number of people. So thank you for sharing that. Keith? Oh, yes. Liam is not feeling well. He's got a sinus infection and he's contagious. So he wasn't able to come today. So if you keep him in your prayers, I know he would appreciate it. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes, ma'am.
We're praying we're going to deliver the shoe boxes on Thursday, and it's quite a blessing. We had 48 from our church, and we gathered around and said a prayer for all the people who have been thoughtful of others and for our church. They prayed for our church that we continue helping the community and around the world.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for that. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us or praises? Miss Arlene? You say your son is? Okay. He's home from the hospital? Okay. We will keep him in our prayers, and we thank God that he is home from the hospital. Yes, Morgan.
All
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. We will. Yes, ma'am.
And if I could pray for me, I got a lot of problems, a lot of pain. I got an MRI left before the end.
Okay. Okay. We'll keep you in our prayers as well. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they'd like to share with us? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt, with your help, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you are a God who listens to prayers, a God who interacts, a God who reaches from eternity into our temporal world, performing not only miracles, but acts of kindness, acts of love, giving us the gifts of your Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would be with all of those who are homeless this season, all of those who have lost loved ones, all of those who are lonely, all of those who are stressed, everyone who doesn't look forward to this time of year. Lord, we pray that you would be with them, that you would give them comfort and strength, that you would give encouragement, that you would help them to find a home, a family. Lord, help us to be the body of Christ, not only in this season, but in all seasons, and to reach out to all of those who need the love of Jesus. Lord, we also want to pray for the Jones family and for the family of Mr. Howard, as well as the family of Mr. Fuller. We pray that you would be with them all as they go through this period of mourning. May they know your comfort and your strength. May they know that you mourn with them, even though you have conquered death. The fullness of that conquering has not been realized in our world yet, and we know that it is not your intention. And so, Lord, we know that you mourn with us, just as you mourned at the death of Lazarus, your friend. Lord, we also want to pray for Lula, that you would be with her, that you would heal her, that you would help her to be able to overcome this cancer. And we pray for Arlene's son, that you would be with him. We thank you that he is back home from the hospital. We pray that you would continue to bless him. And Lord, for Pat, we pray that you would be with her as she goes through her MRI and tries to figure out what her various pains and such are. May you be with all of them and with all of those who have illnesses or who are struggling with things. May you provide them comfort, strength, and healing. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, we ask that we would hear your voice, that we would respond in a positive way, and that we would serve Christ in all things. We pray all these things and so many more in his beautiful and glorious name, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If we could have our children come forward at this time, we will have our children's sermon. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you this morning. I should have worn my sparkly shoes. Let's see. Abel didn't wear his, so I'm good. But we got two sets of sparkly shoes today, and our red ones, and my boring black ones. So today I'm going to tell you a story that everybody knows. The story of David and Goliath. Y'all know the story of David and Goliath? Yeah? It's a pretty famous story. Now, here's the thing we have to do. We're going to embarrass Bailey for a minute. Bailey, will you stand up for us for just a second? It won't, I promise it won't be that bad. All right, you see about how tall Bailey is, right? This is about how tall David was whenever he faced Goliath. Now, Goliath was probably about that tall, roughly. Depends, maybe even taller, maybe like this tall, right? Okay, you can sit down now. You can stand up if you want to. So, the story goes that David is just a shepherd boy. He's a little bit older than you are, Bailey. He was about 12. And he comes in to the Israelite camp, and he finds everybody terrified, right? They're all scared. And he says, what's everybody scared of? And they say, well, the Philistines, our enemies, had this huge warrior named Goliath. And David says, okay, what's the problem? And they said, well, he's huge, and somebody's got to fight him, and nobody wants to fight him because he's so big. And David says, but don't we serve the God of Israel? Well, yeah, but Goliath is really big. And David says, but don't we serve the God of Israel? He's bigger than Goliath is. And they said, well, you go out there if you think you can do it, David. So he says, okay, hello. He says, okay. And they say, here, put some armor on, right? So they put all this armor on, and they just pile it on him. And it's like bigger than David is, and it's weighing him down, and he can't move. And he says, I can't use this junk. So he throws it off to the side, and he says, I'll just take my slingshot and my faith in God. And that'll defeat Goliath. Now, I'm thinking to myself here, there's all these adults who are scared of Goliath, and there's this kid who's not. And these adults are going to let this kid go fight this monster that they're scared of, right? That seems kind of, you know, I mean, if your mom was like, hey, Abel, there's like this enormous dog outside, and he looks like he's got rabies. Can you go out there and beat him up? You'd be like, Mom, or, you know, what are you talking? You're crazy, Mom. Call the police or something, right? But they let him. And he goes out and he prays and he says, basically, God, guide my hand. And David beats Goliath. And the people cheer. And of course, I'm sure somebody took credit for it. You know, they didn't give David credit. Somebody else took credit because that's how these things work. But what David teaches us is that it's not the size of what we're facing. And it's not the size of us. It's the size of God. God is bigger than everything we face. And all we need is to have just a little bit of faith that he can overcome and we can face anything. So we can even dance over here. Get over this way, girl. Because. All right. So whatever we face it with God. And as long as we do that, we can overcome all things, even the scary things. You want to say a prayer? Okay. Your prayer will be to dance. Let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for these children, including this rambunctious one. Lord, may you bless these children. May you bless all the children who are represented by all those who are here. May you bless all children everywhere. And help us to have childlike faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You can dance back to the back for children's time or for children's church. If we could have our ushers come forward, at this time we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing. Our next hymn is Lord Speak to Me, number 463, if you're following along in the hymnal.
Mine every
Thank you. As you are able to, please remain standing for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 19. Habakkuk writes, "What use is an idol once its maker has shaped it? A cast image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in what has been made, though the product is only an idol that cannot speak. Alas for you who say to the wood, 'Wake up!' To silent stone, 'Rouse yourself!' Can it teach? See, it is gold and silver plated. There is no breath in it at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." A prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to Shigayonoth. O Lord, I have heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our own time revive it, in our own time make it known. In wrath may you remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. The brightness was like the sun. Rays came forth from his hand where his power lay hidden. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed close behind. He stopped and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The eternal mountains were shattered. Along his ancient pathways, the everlasting hills sank low. I saw the tents of Cushan under affliction. The tent curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord, or your anger against the sea? Or your rage against the rivers? When you drove your horses, your chariots to victory, you brandished your naked bow, sated were the arrows at your command. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. A torrent of water swept by. The deep gave forth its voice. The sun raised high its hands. The moon stood still in its exalted place. At the light of your arrows speeding by, at the gleam of your flashing spear. In fury you trod the earth, in anger you trampled nations. You came forth to save your people, to save your anointed. You crushed the head of the wicked house, laying it bare from foundation to roof. You pierced with their own arrows the head of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter us, gloating as if ready to devour the poor who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the mighty waters. I hear and I tremble within. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My steps tremble beneath me. I wait quietly for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He makes me tread upon the heights. To the leader with stringed instruments. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Not sure if y'all have checked your calendars yet, but Christmas is coming soon. Next Sunday begins Advent. It's the first Sunday in Advent. December 1st is the first Sunday in Advent. It's amazing. Wanda and I were talking the other day about how the first part of November seemed like it would never pass, and now it seems like, where did the last part of November go, right? Time is one of those crazy things, you know. People talk about how, you know, it's arbitrary and all this kind of stuff, and oh, you live your life by clocks and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? You got clocks, you don't have clocks. Time goes, time moves. This Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday before Advent. It's the Sunday where we celebrate the kingship of Jesus Christ. And it leads into Advent because, of course, Advent is the coming of that king. But you know, in the United States, we don't know a lot about kings. We've never had a king as the United States. Some people like to think that the president acts like a king, but the founding fathers were smarter than that because they had a bad king. And they said, we don't want that again. So the president gets the blame for lots of things that, you know, he has no control over. He also gets a lot of credit for things he has no control over. But he's not a king. We can get rid of him, right? We can either vote him out, wait 8 years if he gets two terms. We can, if there's grounds for it, we can impeach him and get him out that way. He can resign. He can pass away. You know, we can get rid of presidents. Kings are a little harder to get rid of. And when the people of Israel were just becoming a nation, they looked around at all of their neighbors. They said, boy, everybody's got a king except for us. You ever looked around and said, everybody's got something except for me? And you decide that even though you didn't know you wanted that, now you have to have it because, you know, everybody else has it, right? Turn on TV and a commercial comes on. You go, man, I never knew that I needed something that would take the little balls of, you know, of stuff off of my, you know, I could shave my sweater with the, you know, get those little balls of stuff. But I just saw a guy on TV, right? Or one of my favorite ones, you know, you got Flex Tape and Flex Seal. I never knew that I needed to make a boat out of tape. But now that I've seen, you know, this commercial, I've got to make a boat out of tape, right? That's how we are. We look around and we say, man, I never knew I needed that, but now that I see it, I know that it's important, right? So Israel looks around and they say, man, everybody else has a king except for us. They kind of forget that they lived under essentially a king. They lived under Pharaoh. But that generation passed away and, well, you know, Grandpa was always complaining about everything anyway, you know, and so he's an old fuddy-duddy. You know, old people don't know what they're talking about, right? That's what they're thinking. That's every generation says that. And so they said, God, we want a king. God said, why in the world would you want a king? Well, everybody else has one. I like to think that at this point, God pulls the old mom card. Oh, well, if everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you jump off of it? To which some of us smart alecks would reply, well, it depends how much fun it looks. You know, if it looks like it's fun, I might jump off the bridge too, you know. But the Israelites say, well, we want a king. We want a king. And God says, well, listen, here's the thing. Having a king isn't all it's cracked up to be. Yeah, ideally you get security from a king. Ideally you get stability from a king. Ideally you can be safer with a king. But at the very minimum, your king is going to require things. He's going to take your sons and enlist them in his wars. He's going to take your daughters and either make them be servants in his house, maybe make them be his concubines. He's going to take some of your hard-earned work, either in the form of money or in the form of your produce of the land. He's going to take some of that. He's going to take some of your land. He's going to require things of you. And guess what? Sometimes your king is not going to be a very good person. And you're really going to regret having a king when it's not a good king. And Israel says, what does God know, right? He's just God. God doesn't know anything. You know, all he does is he sits up there and he says, oh, don't do this and don't do that and don't build a calf and I'm mad at this. And he's just trying to ruin our fun. God, we want a king. God says, okay. So he gives them a king. First king they have starts out okay, he quickly goes downhill. He has some mental health problems. He has some problems with jealousy. Saul spends more time trying to kill David than he does actually ruling Israel. And the people say, man, God gave us a bad king. You know, it's always somebody else's fault, right? And so God gives them David. And David is still to this day considered by many Jews, even secular Jews, to be the greatest king Israel ever had. But even David had his problems, right? We all know about his affair with Bathsheba. That was some pretty, you know, that was pretty low. But guess what? He's a king. Bathsheba can't say, no, thank you, sir, I'm married and I can't do that. You do that to the king, guess what? You might not, you know, people might wonder what happened to you. So he does that. One of his sons says, you know, I'm the heir to the throne. I don't care what everybody else says. I'm the heir to the throne. Not only that, dad's been on the throne too long. It's time for him to get off. And so we have Israel's first civil war, right? Absalom takes the throne. David runs off. God restores it, but all this chaos is going on. And just like we do when we look at the politicians doing their things, we go, well, good thing I'm going to work tomorrow, because those guys sure aren't going to work, right? Same thing with Israel, I guarantee you. Well, here goes David and his family again, you know, fighting and all this kind of stuff. Somebody's got to tend the fields, and we know it's not going to be them. Israel goes through kings, some good, some not so good, some really bad. When the kingdom divides into the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, Israel never has a good king again. Judah has some here and there. And then finally, what winds up happening is that foreign powers start to become kings. The Assyrians take over, the Babylonians take over, the Greeks take over, the Romans take over. We have this long succession of people who don't know the God of Israel ruling over the land and the people of Israel. And the people start saying, we need God. But God, in his great grace and mercy, told David, listen, David, there will be an heir, and he will rule on the throne of David forever. No one will be able to unseat him. You think you're the greatest king in Israel. You are to this point. But he will be a king like a king is supposed to be. And the people look forward to this. And as we've talked about before, they get all these ideas in their head. The king's going to come and he's going to conquer everybody and he's going to go to war and he's going to do all this stuff and it's going to be great and it's going to be wonderful and the Romans are going to be destroyed and on and on and on and on and on. And the people look for a king. There's a story about a little girl who is drawing with some crayons in school, you know. Teacher comes up, she says, what are you drawing? I'm drawing a picture of God. Teacher says, nobody knows what God looks like. She says, well, they will now. The king that comes says, I'm what God looks like. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. When you look at me, you look at God. What you see me doing, that's what God does. If you don't see me doing something, God doesn't do that. If you see me telling you that what you're doing isn't what you should be doing. That's God telling you, don't do that. But here's the thing with us. Americans don't like to be told what to do. We don't, right? I mean, our first document as a country, the Declaration of Independence, right? July 4th is not the birth of the United States. I mean, we call it that, but it's Independence Day, right? We're independent. We're strong. We're individualistic. We're trailblazers. We do all these things. Nobody can tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do with my money. Don't tell me what to do with my time. Don't tell me what to do with my life. Don't tell me what to do with anything. I'm an American. We've never had a king. We never will have a king. In fact, when the Revolutionary War was going, one of the war cries was, "No king but Christ." Because King George wasn't the greatest king. I mean, he wasn't the worst king that England ever had, but he wasn't the greatest. And they didn't want another king. They just wanted Jesus. But the thing about us as Americans is that we're still human. And for all of our, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do, I don't want a king, I don't want a boss, I don't want somebody breathing down my neck, human beings have a natural inclination to look for a leader, to look for security, to look for something, someone that will take care of me. And when things get bad, that I can blame, right? And people look for this all kinds of places. Some people do it with their careers. They say, I'll get this career, I'll do well in my career, I'll get money, I'll get power, I'll be taken care of. Some people look for it in relationships, right? You get a woman who says, boy, if I could just marry a rich guy, I'd have it made, right? Or you get a guy who says, man, I need to get me a sugar mama. If I get me a sugar mama, I can just lay out by the pool and, you know, let her do all whatever she does. And some people look for it in just money. They don't care how they get money. Sell drugs, make money. If I go to jail, hey, three hots and a cot, right? Be all right, taken care of. Some people look for it in drugs and alcohol. And the thing with drugs and alcohol is that they get benefits from that. Because drugs and alcohol can make you feel like everything's okay, and even if it's not, you don't care. Because your life becomes the next drink, the next hit. And everything else doesn't matter. And people look and they look and they look and they look for a king. They look for somebody or for something that will give them security, that will love them, that will protect them, that will keep them going when the going gets tough. Some people even make God in their own image, and their theology becomes their king. Habakkuk addresses this. He says, listen, what good is an idol? It's made out of silver, it's made out of gold, it's made out of wood, it's made out of clay. You don't like it, you can melt it down, make something else, you can break it, you can use it to, you know, start fire in your house whenever it gets cold. Idols don't do anything. Idols are made in your image. The reason that God told us don't make idols is because God is in his holy temple. God doesn't need an idol. You can't capture the majesty of the King of all creation in an idol. But what you can do with idols is you can control them. You don't like them? Get rid of them. And that's what we do with all of our idols, with all of our kings. Don't like this relationship? You married some rich guy? That's okay. He didn't make me sign a prenup. I'm set for life, right? I get half of his estate. There's always another sugar mama out there. I can change jobs. Don't like whiskey? It's always vodka. Don't like heroin? There's always meth. Don't like where you live? Move somewhere else. You can just keep on seeking and seeking and seeking and changing your idols to suit you and to fit you and everything. But Habakkuk says at the end of his prophecy, though the fig tree does not blossom, though there's no fruit on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He makes me tread upon the heights. Habakkuk says, God is God because everything else in this world fails. At some point, everybody, everything will fail you in some way. It will tell you you're not good enough. It will show you it's not good enough. It will put you at rock bottom. It will break your heart. It will disappoint you. It will let you down. And that includes what you have decided God is instead of what Christ teaches us God is. But God, Christ, our King, has overcome the world, and he will never fail. Never fail. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is our King. And the relationship with a king is simply this. The king tells you what to do, and you do it. And the king takes care of you. You worry about the commandments of Jesus Christ our Lord, and let him worry about all the stuff that fails us anyway. Christ is King, and soon we will celebrate his coming. And no matter what they do in Washington, D.C., or Nashville, or Rockwood, or whatever, if they all die today, if this nation that was created in independence collapses today, Jesus Christ will still be King. He will still be above all. And the gates of hell will still not prevail against his church. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, when we feel like everything has failed us, to look to you and say, though all be destroyed, I will praise the Lord, for he will never be destroyed. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our final hymn, Praise to the Lord Almighty, number 139, if you're following in the hymnal. Now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you follow the King of Kings, knowing that wherever he leads you, he will protect you, until either you return to him or he returns for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.
The Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make to them whom shall